The Red Sea has been in the news lately because of missiles fired on ships from Yemen by Houthi rebels. Hebrew slaves leaving Egypt with Moses would have probably drowned if they tried to cross the Red Sea. It's very deep, even at the shore. So the crossing story expressed in Exodus and Numbers probably involved the Sea of Reeds, where a daily wind tide caused by strong winds coming off the desert still allows people to wade across on foot. Today's reading in the book of Numbers reminded me of an experience when Jill and I were camping in the Sinai in 88. We were spending the night in an open-faced cave called the Billion Star Hotel, enveloped in total darkness. Seeing our Milky Way galaxy was truly awesome. It was incredible. Waking up early the next morning, I slipped out of my sleeping bag to see the sunrise. Now, we'd been warned about scorpions and poisonous snakes in that area. So as I climbed up the nearby hill, I looked at every spot where I placed my hands and feet until, bam! I had walked into a thorn tree. My bloody forehead, testimony to what happens when we don't look like where we're going. Maybe a parable for our day. But that day, poisonous serpents were my priority. The Sinai is a wilderness, not a desert. So plants and bushes grow there. A huge flood, very rare in that area, had hit a week before. Unbelievably, I spotted a patch of wild pansies. Who would think? Those Semitic slaves from Egypt were suddenly free. Excitement first carried them along. It was the second generation that was complaining. Sound familiar? Losing patience with Moses and God. Why did you bring us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? No bread, no water. We're sick of this miserable food called manna, which literally means, what is it? And it's pretty gross. I'll tell you a coffee hour after you eat. At their complaining, the Lord sent poisonous serpents into the camp, their bite bringing death to many. So they came to Moses. Okay, we messed up. Intercede for us with the Lord to save us from these serpents. He did. And the Lord answered him, design a poisonous serpent out of bronze and set it on a pole. Now, I wondered, where would they find bronze in the wilderness? So I did a little more research and found out it's a clever wordplay, as serpent and bronze are closely related words in Hebrew. If anyone is bitten, look up and they shall live. The plague of serpents remained an ongoing threat to the community. And the raised bronze serpent was a reminder of the need to turn to the healing power of God. The origin of the caduceus, a symbol of medicine, depicted as a stick intertwined by two snakes surmounted by wings. In honor of Moses, a large pole with a bronze snake stands at the edge of Mount Nebo where Moses died, never to enter the land of Canaan. It's a very potent symbol as to why people should look to doctors rather than politicians for the practice of medicine, especially when it comes to inoculations and women's health care. John's gospel holds up a mirror to that story of Moses, his followers, and those snakes. Looking back theologically in hindsight, almost 100 years later, John has Jesus say, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." In other words, even if you're bitten by a poisonous serpent, whatever that is in your life, look to Jesus and you'll survive. Then the heart of John's theology in chapter 3, equating the two stories. Yes, God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not be lost, but may have eternal life. Note, God so loved the world, not just Christians. That connection is why the church continued to see Hebrew scripture as crucial for understanding Jesus as well as God. Now, speaking of poisonous serpents, John's words are sadly insightful terms of the present situation here in our own country. White male supremacy, clothed in Christian nationalism, is really scary. A real challenge to the nation and to the church. John wrote, "On these grounds is sentence pronounced, that though the light has come into the world, people have shown they preferred darkness to the light because their deeds were evil." This is a troubling time. Religion being used, I'd say abused, for political power, having nothing to do with the heart or message of Jesus. Poisonous serpents abound with the power to kill. Lent invites you to look up, see Jesus on the cross. He is the caduceus for us Christians, helping us to see the world differently. Focus our values, our relationships, and be healed from poison. When poisonous serpents are slithering all around, look up and see him. Focus on him and you'll survive. We'll have eternal life, as John said, remembering that eternal life begins now, not just when you die. That life really is possible because Jesus' life, even his death on the cross, can give inspiration and direction. But it also means after you look, you've got to do something. Otherwise, your looking is merely sentimental or like gawking at an accident on the side of the road. Remember, we, the church, incarnate in this parish, are the hands and feet of Christ. No magic from above. We're it. One of the key phrases of Black history, as Negroes sought their own freedom, was "keep your eyes on the prize." Doing so will keep you focused on the Spirit of Jesus, keep you oriented to do what is right in the eyes of God, keep you from being poisoned by prejudice or any other evil, and allow you to go on your way without fear in this modern wilderness we face together.